All right, give it to me. Happy Roo!
Happy Roo!
Love it. I love that sound. I love that sound. We're just getting set up for the What Podcast. We're going to come hang out. Podcast. What is it? Podcast with a party? Party with a podcast. Either way, they're coming to hang out with us and have a good time here at Planet Roo. This is a wonderful, wonderful start to the Roo, guys. 2025 has been good to Roo. Can I hear it one more time? Happy Roo!
Happy Roo!
Beautiful, beautiful.
All right, welcome. This is a special edition of the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ, Lord Taco. We've got a panel discussion. We're going to talk about all the different charity events and the community events that happen here in Manchester and Coffee County. We've got some special guests, and I'm gonna let you guys introduce yourselves if you don't mind, and just kind of give a quick synopsis of who you are.
Miss Bonner, you go first.
I'll just say I'm self-appointed, so any of y'all that would like to be Miss Bonnaroo, please join me next year.
Hello, I'm Priscilla Norman, and welcome back home.
My name is Brad Parker. I'm the festival director of Bonnaroo with C3 Presents. Thank you.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm Ryan French with City of Manchester and Regional Tourism. So, welcome to Manchester, everybody.
So if you're a local and you're wondering where all your tax dollars are going, get a hold of this guy right here.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
And I loved hearing the loud applause. That's Brad. That's...
You guys look way cooler than I look. I promise you that.
That is the Brad. What we're going to do, I want to talk about what this... festival is meant to us and what it has meant to this community, and I'm gonna let them do all of that. So just real quick, for those of you who don't know, you're wondering why I'm up here talking, I came to Bonnaroo in 2002, and then from 2007 I covered it for a Chattanooga newspaper. Been here every year. Brian's been, go ahead.
Yeah, hello everybody. I'm Brian. Jumped the fence in 02.
Security.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that potentially in this story. And just to see what all the fuss was about. I was 22 years old, having fun, music, all the stuff that comes with that was what I was all about. And for some reason, it wasn't immediately on my radar. And then my friends were going, and I was like, well, hell, I got to go too. And then since 03, it was a can't miss. Like all year after that, I was like, holy shit. What did I just see? I'm coming back for the rest of my life. And so far, I've kept up with that promise on myself. So we'll see.
Russ, do you want to tell your story or you want me to tell it?
You tell it.
So, like
this is an NA, by the way, everybody. Sorry, go ahead.
Like my earlier question about how many of you talk about Bonnaroo all the time, that's what I found myself doing with Brad Steiner, who's a radio guy in Chattanooga. We decided we should do a podcast. He reached out to Russ, Lord Taco. Taco built our website, put everything together, and does an absolutely amazing job every week.
Yeah, it's the machine that keeps it rolling and keeps it looking good and feeling good. And little known fact here, it was supposed to be the two of you, the Brad Steiner, who's not here anymore, and you and me.
That's right.
Well, somehow I got cut out of that, and this guy got moved in. Yeah. I was working at radio still at the time, and so I was busy. I was like, kind of was supposed to be a part of that. 7 years later, here we go. You know, right. So
here's what I want to do.
Patience is the key.
Brad's got to get in about 22 minutes. Let's get started with the bulk of everything. And then what we'd like to do is maybe Q&A. If you guys have questions, we're happy to answer. And then we'd like to meet as many of you as we can. Why are you here?
Why am I here? That's a great question. In 2009, I lied to my mother, who is also here at this festival, and told her I was going to a friend's lake house for the weekend. And that was the biggest lie I'd ever told my mother at the time. And I ended up here at Bonnaroo.
Volunteered, and then...
I came as a fan in 2009, and then became obsessed, and then worked my first one. I've worked every one since 2013.
All right, so to get this the program going, I want to ask Priscilla and Ryan, because you guys have probably seen as much of this festival grow as anybody that I can think of. That's the basic question. How has it changed? How have you guys seen, and for those who don't know, your dad was the mayor, correct?
He was.
Twice.
Mayor Lonnie, if you guys remember Mayor Lonnie.
Yes.
One of my favorite moments, I cried like a baby, was him on stage with Brandi Carlile on Father's Day.
Yes.
That was so sweet.
Thank
he was so proud to be there.
Thank you.
But Priscilla, if you and Ryan will, just how has this thing changed your lives?
Oh, my goodness. I have been coming since 2002, since the very first one, and I haven't missed any. And I don't plan to. I don't plan to at all. It has changed. It has brought more family. Manchester has always been a small town with a big soul. And I think having Bonnaroo here has solidified that. Everybody has become a part of our family, extended family, and we're always happy to welcome you back. Thank you.
Same question.
Over the years, I've seen Bonnaroo change in a lot of ways, mostly the philanthropic giving and the economic impact coming back into the community. We always saw things happening, but now we see a lot of intent that is really beneficial to the local community. And that's the way that I've seen it change. And traffic has gotten better. Even if you're frustrated about traffic today, it has gotten so much better as
yes.
a local.
Wait, we don't cause any traffic.
Traffic. I remember that first year. Ryan, same question. How have you seen this festival change, in particular, its impact on the community?
Yeah, it's grown. It's gotten better every year. I joke, you know, the first thing that Bonnaroo is responsible for is logistics. Their planning and logistics are just out of this world. If you really think about the fact there's 100+ thousand people around this campus and that they're able to get off the interstate and in here so safely, it's great. But like Priscilla, this is my 21st Bonnaroo. So I've been going since 2002. I admitted a couple years ago because I think statute limitations have expired, but I snuck into the first four. But I was 16, 17 years old. So I think it's good, but it's been a massive impact on the community. And I think you're just actually now seeing these generations of folks that have grown up with Bonnaroo that are in fact, much more enlightened citizens that we have now. And, but it's just the one thing Bonnaroo's always done is embrace good ideas. I'm sitting here, I see David, I see the Roo Bus folks, like the fact that they're incorporating the community and making it such a beautiful place to be, I think is what sets it apart from the rest of the festivals in the country.
Real quick, if I could, Ryan, excuse me. You just kind of said it there. If you're in your early 20s and you live in this county and this city, all you know that Bonnaroo is here, right? Like we've generationally flipped to where there are people who have known this their entire life. And I don't see the city itself that drastically different other than technological advances, necessities, the same thing all smaller towns have. But the embracing of this festival in this community, in this city, it feels palatable. It feels real. The comment section, forget the comment section, right? But what is, as now a city official, what is, over the years, have you been hearing from your constituents about this festival in general? I mean, there's got to be council meetings or alderman meetings where somebody's not happy, but what kind of feedback do you get?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll start with just the fact that, you know, Bonnaroo has always been an amazing partner and a willing partner. I think that's the most important element is any type of improvements that the city, the municipalities wanted to pursue, the county wanted to pursue, they've always been there. They're always, they want to sit at the table and have discussions about any kind of improvements. But, you know, I've been on city council. You talk about the comment section. Like, I think the fact that, yeah, if you're in your early 20s, all you've known is Bonnaroo. I think the one thing that comes with that is you also have to kind of battle complacency because this is how it's always been. And so kind of, I think that's a lot of the work that the Bonnaroo Works Fund does is kind of resetting that narrative. Like, hey, this is above and beyond. You know, I think they've given well over $8 million since the festival started just to projects, not just in Manchester, but around the region. And they're changing people's lives throughout the year with this investment. And I think that's the biggest thing is that they're committed to that 365-day investment to the region, not just Manchester, but the entire region. And it's, again, they're just the most willing partners that you could imagine.
Fred, this is not the only festival you do, right?
It's not.
How is this one different than the others?
Oh, man.
Everything?
Yeah. I mean, Bonnaroo changed my life. I think that there's not a lot of festivals that can make that claim for many people. I think that I was talking about this earlier. The thing that separates Bonnaroo from any other music festival, I think, in the United States, maybe in the world, is there's just this magic community that's fostered here. And, yeah, you guys. And there's this, like, overwhelming sense of, like, what it is to be a human and the human connection that I don't know if it exists many other places. There's a lot of great artists here. We love our artists. But there's a lot of artists here that you can go see anywhere. And I think it's really, it says something that people choose to come here to see those artists rather than the thousand other places that they can make that decision.
Talk about the relationship between the festival and what we see behind us, this sort of community things. You guys have done that from the beginning. There's always been maybe a different name, but there's always been an emphasis on recycling. There's been an emphasis on giving back to the community, having the community benefit, right? The high school used to benefit. I think they bought band uniforms early on, right?
Yeah,
that relationship. Is it chicken and egg type of thing?
Listen, if you want to make, if a music festival is going to last decades, you've got to be engaging at more than a surface level. And I think for us, what's really important, it's really easy to build a stage, make a bunch of noise, sell a bunch of beer, make a bunch of traffic, and then disappear for 364 days and then come back. What we want to do is when we go into communities, and Bonnaroo is the perfect example of this, and I think Bonnaroo is the first festival in the country that did this. We want to hold up a mirror. We want to be a reflection of what is going on in that community, what's happening in that community, what they're trying to make happen in that community, and how we can bolster to that and dig really deep roots and add fuel to the fire, per se. And so I use that analogy a lot. Like, we don't want to come into your neighborhood and be this big, shiny, noisy thing. We want to come in and simply hold up a mirror and be a reflection of who they are. And I think that what you're looking at behind you here with all of our community partners and the different missions that we have and the core values of the brand that we have here at Bonnaroo, which really filter down to humans being good to other humans. It's not that simple, but I think it is to an extent. That when you can do that, you can win. You can always win. And you can do a lot of good, like a whole lot of good. And that's what our focus is, I think, for Bonnaroo.
For you guys, for those of you that live here, talk about the sort of ebb and flow, this growth, because it's 22, 23 years old. How is it? I mean, seriously, when the first year, 80,000 people lined up on that freeway out there from Nashville to Chattanooga, that kind of had to be a harsh reality to homeowners.
That was very shocking for the first year. You're hoping for an event to be successful. I remember my parents getting in the car and driving down the interstate to see if they saw anyone walking. They were going to pick them up and bring them here. They knew where you were coming. So I thought that was amazing. That was so amazing. And through the years, somehow, Bonnaroo keeps making it feel brand new. And it keeps bringing us all back.
What are your memories of the early?
Say it again.
What are your memories of those early years and then how?
So my first Bonnaroo was 2011. And I came in my matching Nike outfit and my Nike sandals that I didn't want to walk through the sludge. And I had my wipies and I was like, oh, people are going to be close to me. And the next year it was like full on, let's go out a different way and become like the people I saw here who are so comfortable in their skin, loving each other even through their differences and celebrating art and music. So that was the biggest transformation for me. But over the years, I've always been looking for the people that are going to bathe in the fountain in the community. And in our grandfather's pool, he said he came home one day and people were leaving Bonnaroo and stopped to bathe in his pool. So I'm looking for those experiences because I love that kind of chaos. And now with it being mainstreamed on the interstate, you don't see a lot of that. But I like seeing all of the welcoming, I'm going to Bonnaroo stuff coming in off the interstate. Yes.
Ryan, talk about the ebb and flow. I'm sure you've sat in some meetings. They can't all have been rainbows and unicorns, right? What are some of the hurdles that you guys, that the city's had to overcome?
Yeah, a couple years ago, I'll just cut right into the meat. I don't know. I probably should have talked about this with Brad, but the city, you're in the city limits of Manchester now. And that's not always been the case. And I think a couple years ago, I mean, early, even all the way back to 2017, 16, there was this kind of separation in the thought process of some elected officials of wanting to create additional taxes, ticket taxes and things like that. And the uncomfortable elephant in the room, I guess, was, you know, we could annex Bonnaroo. It was contiguous to the city limits. And the city was a more willing partner at the time. And so we were able to kind of come in, do that, and I think really kind of reset some of the initiatives that we were doing as a community. Now, that being said, the county has come back around. They're back at the table, and they're great partners. But as far as the ebb and flow goes, I mean, it's always about what's best and how can we make it better? You know, is it traffic? Is it investments in infrastructure? Is it investments into schools? I mean, I was just talking to someone yesterday when we were in the high school. And I was like, hey, let me show you this light set that's in the theater that was invested in by Bonnaroo. Those are kind of things that the long-term investments that have been made that we kind of maybe become numb to. But yeah, it's as far as rainbows and butterflies go, some elected officials are always going to have an ego. You're going to have to run through it. It's no different here than it is anywhere else. But at the end of the day, the impact that this festival has is enormous, culturally, financially. I'll give you an idea. Tourism in the state of Tennessee is the second largest industry. It's a $30 billion a year industry for the state of Tennessee. Bonnaroo is roughly a $330 million regional impact annually, $340 million. So in a community, in a state, Tennessee is one of 10 states that doesn't have an income tax. And so we depend heavily on sales tax, be that as a regressive tax as I think it is. At the same time, for tourism, it does mean higher margins. And so that means a bigger impact. And so that's why embracing these things, coming into being partners is so critical because it shapes our government. It shapes the way our budgets look, our schools look, and our culture looks. Honestly, that's the biggest thing I'm excited about. This next couple generations of folks that have been Ruvians since day one, they're born into it.
All right, I want to wait real quick while I'm thinking of it. Most of you guys, whether you know it or not, probably know each other because I think we all listen to a lot of the same podcast and everything. So turn around and say hi to your neighbor before we leave here because you probably know each other and just don't know it.
How much did Barry pay you guys to be in here today? I'm just curious. Over under $5.
He did it in crypto. I got $5
in the front right here. Yeah. $5.
Barry's big into cryptocurrency.
Yeah. I'll send you my Venmo. There was some news that came out this week, and I know Brad wants to speak to it. One of the founders passed away this week, so I know you got to get leave in a minute, and you want to say something.
Yeah, well, one, I appreciate you guys coming to this. I appreciate what everybody on this stage does to contribute to Bonnaroo. It's really magical. Earlier this week, we unexpectedly and tragically lost John Mayers, who was one of the founders of Bonnaroo. We've set up a beautiful memorial for him under this oak tree back at the corner of the tent. And we'd love if you all would leave anything there that you'd like us to share with his family. There's a mailbox that you can write letters and drop letters in there. And we'd really love for you guys to share your stories. And we will be hand-delivering that to John's family. It would mean a ton to them. John was the visionary of this festival, the dreamer. It took a lot of his friends to bring this all together, but I think he was the one that always was saying, what if? And that is something that is really important to the spirit of Bonnaroo. The Infinity Stage this year is one of those what ifs. I hope you guys take time to go check it out. But really, this weekend, we're trying to do what we can do to honor John and say thank you to him. And I just wanted to, with the group of you all that were here for this, I wanted to share that with you because it's a big loss for us. So we appreciate you all. Whatever you can stop and share over there, we really appreciate it.
Do you have one for him? Brad, I don't know. I say it all the time on the show. I don't know of anybody who runs an event like this who is as accessible as you have been.
I'm always available for you, Barry. Now, Brian, I don't know. That's a different story.
But. Well, I say I can tell everybody what you're going to say before you say it. So I don't know. I feel like we're either kindred spirits or enemies. I'm not sure.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to say for the record here with Brian on stage with me that I am not the festive owl. I just want to confirm that.
Of course, that's what he says.
I promise you it's not me. I want you to know, Brian. Me and Corey talked about if I, for every day of the festival, would wear just something small that had an owl on it, just to see if you guys would pick up on it. But I didn't do it.
Listen, do you think that if Festival was floating around on here, we'd get on this stage and admit to it? Of course he wouldn't. So we don't know for sure yet. But I'll take your word for it, Brad.
I'm just good at my job, man. That's all I'm going to
do. I know.
All right, before you get out of here, talk about some of these community programs that you're most proud of.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I think this year I want to highlight a couple of things. The first one I want to highlight is the Infinity Stage. We have a team here literally from all across the globe. I saw guys the other day, and they looked so tired. It was 9 a.m., and I said, are your guys going to be okay? And they said, yeah, he'll be fine. He just got off a 30-hour flight. I said, okay, maybe he needs to take the day off and come back tomorrow. But no one's ever done a stage like the Infinity. No one's ever done a stage like the Infinity as big as we're doing it. We will definitely have a learning curve this year because it's never been done. So for those of you here, we'll have our music census that goes out after the festival. And it'll be up on the screens during the festival QR code. But we'd love your feedback on everything, obviously. We know you want Tame Impala, so I'm just telling you I'm listening to that. But we'd love your feedback on the Infinity. We'd love your feedback on who you want to see play the show in the future. And the second thing I want to do, and she was in the crowd, but I think she's probably hiding somewhere backstage now. Kelsey DeWald, Kelsey DeWald runs the Bonnaroo Works Fund, who helps us curate all of the incredible high impact programming that we do here at Bonnaroo. She's over here hiding to the left. We're making some big changes to this program, and Kelsey's been a real warrior getting through it with us. So I wanted to share with you guys here today, we're going to be bringing all of our basically all of our nonprofit charitable giving, we're going to bring internal to C3 and the festival so we can try to maximize the impact that we're having. And Kelsey's still going to, she agreed to come along for the ride on that. So you won't see a lot of things out here that are changing, but hopefully you'll see that we can continue to grow that number and that impact that we're having and expand the programs we're doing. And I just want to call Kelsey out for the amazing work that she does in here with all of our partners.
Talk a little bit about that survey that you do. Because I know when we first saw it, and it's mostly because Brian and I are old and cynical, we're like, oh, another survey that will never be...
Data collection.
Data will never be utilized. But
give us your email.
I think I even told you that, and you had an answer. So,
here's what I'll just admit it, and this is being recorded, so maybe I shouldn't say this, but we make a lot of assumptions. We work in an industry that's driven on data and ticket sales and all of that. And that's great to have the ability to access a lot of that information. Sometimes we use data, in my opinion, to make assumptions about what you all want to see at this festival rather than just asking you directly. We look at how certain tours are selling, what artist albums are doing well, and for the most part, that works in our favor. We book bands that people want to see because their albums are popular and their tours are selling out. But whenever we, the way that we're able to keep Bonnaroo weird with things like Luke Combs and Insane Clown Posse on the same day is by getting from you all directly what you want to hear and what you want to see at the show. And last year we put that census out. It's the first time we've ever done it. It wasn't a marketing ploy. We didn't ask for your name or your email or your phone number. We just wanted you to answer questions, and that was it. And I think we had over 20,000 people respond to that census. And we used that data directly to get the artists that are playing the show this year. So please, 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 the Sabrina Carpenter way, please, 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 fill out the census whenever it goes out. Corey Smith will love you and thank you forever if you do that.
How, for you guys that live here, again, I would go back to that you guys that live here, we drop in for a week, you know, 4 or 5 days, whatever. How does this festival impact this city and this county the other 355 days a year?
I'm going to interrupt her real quick. I have to go. I love you guys so much.
Boo.
I love Bonnaroo so much.
Boo.
I will come back and try to hang out before this is over if I can, but I have to go. I love you guys. Bonnaroo!
Hey, Brad. Thanks, Brad. It's like Clark Kent. He's got to dip out. Go be festival.
Yeah.
He ain't convinced me of anything, by the way.
He's got to go spread some more rumors. Always leave them wanting.
So the ways that I see the impact from Bonnaroo year-round as a local is I've seen the pizza cooker that's at the rec center that the Bonnaroo Works Foundation paid for. And I see the musical instruments outside at the playground of a local daycare that they paid for. I see solar panels on one of the biggest buildings in our community that they paid for. I see buses. I see ambulances. I see band uniforms, lights at our theater. And I see a person. There's a person. Kelsey shows up. If I text her and say, Kelsey, this local sponsorship or this local event's happening, if she can be there, she's there. And that face with the giving lets you know that it's more than just check writing. This is a relationship with our community, and we see that everywhere.
And I think also by, you know, carrying the Bonnaroovian code throughout the year, no matter whether you're here in Manchester or wherever home may be to you, and remembering to radiate the positivity, share the love. We're all here, and we're just wanting to all love one another. And I think that as long as we can take that, the world's going to be a better place.
It's not often a message actually gets through. That's pretty cool. Ryan, same question. Throughout the year, for the rest of the year, how has Bonnaroo impacted the city and the county?
Yeah, again, you know, financially, I'll start there. Like, it just, to the city of Manchester, it's roughly you know, and we start seeing a spike in sales taxes with ticket sales. That's a little over $1 million to the annual budget that comes in directly to Bonnaroo. That's not a consideration of lodging taxes and other taxes that come in as well. So give you an idea, that's, you know, that's roughly 10% of the entire city's operational budget. So it's huge. Now, the other 365 days a year, I think that that's probably the most interesting question because it depends on who you are. My family, we have five kids, and they are out here every single year from as little as 3 years old, 2 years old. We have them out here. There's no safer place in the world, in my opinion, than Bonnaroo. And in a world that can suck sometimes, you know, when you have a code that you come to and the first thing is you got to radiate positivity, I think it's one of those things that ripples throughout the community the rest of the year for people that get it. There's always going to be, you know, your handful of assholes, but we don't worry about those guys. They're in the comment section.
Well, to piggyback off of that, Ryan, I mean, doing this for 22 years, I've had countless people in my life having children that are 15 or 14, is on the way to 17, and they want to go to Bonnaroo. That rite of passage, it's still alive and very vibrant and very well. And I think that's the spirit of this festival all the way around, is that you haven't experienced anything if you haven't done this.
Yes.
And having that still be so prevalent is, I don't like to use the word magical that much, but it really is a magical kind of thing, that it's the youth and the returning customers for sure, but the youth really keeps this thing alive and well, right, I believe.
I asked the question earlier, how many of you talk about it all the time? How many of you feel like this festival changed your life?
That's a common theme, and I just blanked on my thought. So many people have asked me, is Bonnaroo safe for my kids? That's where I was going with that. Or my teenager or my 19, 18-year-old. I'm so worried. And Ryan, you just said it. It's one of the safest places you can be. Like, there's nothing dangerous about this festival at all unless you live your life dangerously, and then you're going to run into issues no matter where you go.
That's always my answer when people would ask. If your kid's one of those that trouble finds, or he or she finds trouble, it's there.
I mean, you can find trouble here if you want to make it. Yeah, but the beautiful thing is virtually nobody wants that. And it's very rare you run into a place where there's this many people who collectively feel the same way. It's just, it still blows my mind every year to be in a spot where so many people are all on the same page. Every single minute of the when shit is just, oh my God, it's weather or whatever it might be, it's, let's figure out how to make this work. Let's figure out how to make this the best it can be. And almost always that turns out to be the case.
Never not great. Can you tell us what the conversations were like with your parents when this thing first sort of came around? I mean, I can only imagine if 80,000 people descended on my neighborhood.
Not in my backyard.
Yeah. I'm going to have a moment or two.
So I actually live in Nashville, but I grew up here. This is home. And Lonnie Norman was my father. So when it first came, they were just so excited, and they couldn't wait for everyone to come. They kept calling me, like, Priscilla, you have to hurry up and come home. You are just not going to believe what we're seeing. There are so many people. So I think they were hoping for people, but they didn't expect as many people as they saw. So as I said before, they were trolling the interstate to happily bring anybody that was headed this way on this form very safely. And they came every year until they, of course, were not able to come any longer. But this place is a special place for us, for my family. Once in a lifetime, memories have been made here of friends that are our friends for life. So I just love you being here, being back in my hometown.
Priscilla, I would like to stick with your father for just a minute. He was the mayor in the 90s, yes. Later again in 2012, if yes. I'm getting my numbers right. First African-American mayor of Manchester.
Yes.
Never lost a public seat yes. that he sought.
Yes.
So the trust within the community was there clearly since the 90s and into the 2000s, and he was a supporter from the jump.
From the start. He thought this festival was the best thing in the world.
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
How many of you are here for the first time?
Oh, look at those nudes. Woo. Happy to have you.
Applause again. Is it what you expected? Better, worse? It's early. I know, it's early. It's still, when you get here, it's kind of overwhelming. But all right. How many of you have been here 2 years? How many 5? How many 10? Yeah, there's a lot of repeats. I don't know too many things like that. That's really cool. All right, what else you got?
Well, Ryan, I want to bring you back. You were talking about the numbers to the community, and the overall numbers are, you know, they're real for the most part. You know how local municipalities, state municipalities, and numbers can start to maybe turn into junk data. But, I mean, I just went through the Manchester Times backlogs, and it's a little bit more than just, 300 umpteen billion, uncountable jillion, right? I'm at Food City, that's a grocery store in Chattanooga this morning. Two different sets of cars are filling up on their last run before they're heading up. Talk to them for a few minutes. Let's say they spent $100 each. That's money spent 100 miles away, 80 miles away. Some of the numbers I saw here from 2013, right? So we're going back a ways. $28 per day outside of the county per person is spent. Inside the county, $35 a day per person within Coffee County, and $86 total spending throughout, you know, leading up to the weekend, that kind of thing. Those are numbers that are easier for me to digest. You know, you can tell me $100 million. I'm like, wow, I don't know what that money even is. But that's real money going to real places, to real businesses, to real people that, I mean, to say without it, you would be ruined would be silly. But though, that kind of stuff is really, really resonates with me.
Yeah, I think your bigger point is, you know, the 100 miles away, right? Because the local sales tax rate here is 2.75, but the state sales tax rate is 7. So
yeah, we're closer to 8.5, 9 or something in Hamilton County.
Yeah, so when you get into Tennessee and you start spending money, it's going to the state coffers either way. So it's going to be beneficial to everybody. But as far as digestible numbers, you know, we look at the State Department of Tourism puts out a really cool snapshot each year for each county, and just kind of give you an idea. You know, Manchester, Coffee County roughly sees about a $600+ savings per year per household in savings thanks to tourism. And if you really want to break down tourism in Coffee County, well, just look around. This is where it is. So that's more of a digestible number for people. Because, again, like you said, it kind of gets lost in the fray over 22 years. It's already cooked into budgets and this and that. But if you look at that number every year, $600, it saves us. And I'll also say, too, the spending coming into Bonnaroo is actually a little bit lower than averages. And that's because we know most of you are trying to save your money till you get here. And that's a good thing. So, but yeah, those are in line. And that's what leads to that overall regional impact that I'll say. This isn't as much as it is a local festival for us, because we love it. It benefits us. It benefits the entire state of Tennessee. And I think you've seen that commitment from the state because of that.
I wish I had the quote in front of me now, but I don't. But if somebody back in media on a panel earlier was talking about, to 75% of attendees are outside of the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means exactly, except it sounds good.
Yeah. It's
lots of travel, lots of money, lots of commerce. And that's what everybody wants, and to have a great time on top of that. So I can't imagine I've never been here in the city running around, which is a lot less now. They don't want you leaving. Stay if you can. I've never encountered a local in 20 years that was anything other than helpful, that was anything other than gracious. I mean, I haven't even run into a bad attitude, man. I mean, I guess I was the bad attitude, maybe. I don't know. It's wild, and it's a testament to what's happening here.
We hear... I did want to jump in and answer your question earlier about when you first came to town. What was that like? I have a 95-year-old grandfather that's about 200 yards away, just across the interstate from right here as a crow flies. And he's uniquely minded as far as his acceptance of people in the world. But he had a swimming pool at the time. The first thing he did was open the swimming pool to the traffic that was sitting in front of his house waiting to get in. And, you know, Priscilla said it, we're so excited to come back every year and see everybody because they're family, right? And we're excited about the family and seeing all the folks. A couple years ago, my granddad was telling me he's turning 92 years old. And he said, yeah, you know, I appreciate being this old, but when you get this old, all your friends are gone before you. And so I went to Loophole to Reality, the Bonnaroo fan page, and I just posted on there, hey, my granddad's turning 92. He doesn't have any friends that are around. He's got one or two. They're going to call him, be done by 8:30 this morning. Give him a call. I gave his phone number out. For the next 40-something hours, his phone rang. And I just snuck to his house, didn't say anything. He goes, I know it was you. But he ended up having calls from all 50 states, from people. He ended up accepting well over 300 calls. There's no telling how many he missed because he talked to people the whole entire time. And that's what this community is about. That's the people that are new here. That's what you belong to now. So go ahead and make plans for next year and the year after and the year after.
One more piece of commentary. This isn't really a question, but Ryan, speak to it if you remember. I got a few years on you, but not a whole lot. How many of you have heard of the Ichiku Park Festival? Not that many. A few of you. I see you. I see you, OGs. So in August of 99, on this property, it was a festival called Ichiku Park. Classic rock artists, for the most part, think Heart, Nancy, and whatever her name is from Heart.
Mitch Ryder was here.
Sammy Hagar, things like that. 2 weeks before that, roughly, was Woodstock 99. And so between, I don't have time to reset the Woodstock 99 thing. Y'all, I'm going to assume you know how that went. Not good. And then... Ichiku Park, it was a failure financially. It tanked. It didn't sell well. I don't know if that had anything to do with, because the biggest story in America in late July 1999 into August was the destruction and dangerous, I mean, that's the only way to put it, dangerous setting that what we thought American music festivals had turned into. And so there wasn't a promoter that was going to touch this anywhere. Any kind of festival was a done idea for now. And then, as we mentioned earlier with the sad passing of Jonathan Mayers and countless names that are not, they're escaping me this moment, boldly went out here and said, all right, let's give this a try. Let's do this. And I'll be damned if it didn't work. And it reset into the 21st century. The European style, along with the Jam, Fish, Grateful Dead ethos, and this isn't just a festival that's really cool for us to be at right now. It's transformative to the entire landscape of live music and festival gatherings, proving it can be safe, proving it can be done well, and that's a damn bold risk. Ryan, your memories of the Ichiku Park and all that leading into the turn of the 21st century, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Ichiku, I guess You said it was 99. I guess the most important thing about Ichiku was the research that went into it. They had determined that Manchester was a great place for a festival because it's like a day and a half drive from 80% of the United States. And then the names, you know, Ashley Capps, think back, Jeff Cuellar, those people come in and yes. this beautiful thing. But yeah, Ichiku was crazy. It was a different, a bunch of people showed up with not a lot of idea of where to go. And then that led to in 2002, I think the city council, for the most part, kind of dismissed Bonnaroo's, the seriousness of Bonnaroo, because they're like,
probably figured it'd be a big failure. Or
yeah,
something.
They're like, oh, you say 80,000 people is going to come. That's what they said last
sure
time.
Sure thing.
And then 80,000 people showed up. It was like, holy crap. You know, yeah. What are you doing? It's been full speed ever since.
We hear every time he's on our show or anytime we talk to him, one of the things Brad Parker says that makes this work is they always, at the end of the festival, say what went right, what went wrong, but they always are open to the idea of what if. What if we did this? How does it work from the city's standpoint? Do the C3 people, do the Brad Parkers of the world come to you guys here and say, what if we do this? Well, I guess what I'm asking, is it a two-way street? Can you guys go to them and say, what if we did this?
Yeah, absolutely. So Bonnaroo every year, they'll come back before the festival. We'll go into the festival with a series of safety meetings. You know, they'll brief us on things that they're changing as far as safety, because safety is paramount. It is the number one concern, making sure everyone comes here, has fun in a safe manner. And then, of course, after the festival's over, we all recover, and then we come back to the table, and is there things that we can do better? Is there plans that we can put in place? For the most part now, that's really worked out. There are some investments that could be made. You know, I'm thinking about widening Bushy Branch Road, by the way. Someone from the Bonnaroo merch team needs to make a Bushy Branch Road t-shirt, by the way.
I've read a lot about, there's been some issues getting that widened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, widen the road, sorry. I grew up in Lynchburg, so I got a little bit of that,
yeah.
that twang. But yeah, we need to widen that road.
It's only been 20 years. Yeah. Could use an extra lane. Yeah.
But going back to the annexation discussion, that was kind of one of the sticking points, was the willingness to do that. You know, the state of Tennessee is willing to come in. That's a plan that's been tossed around. But those types of discussions, Bonnaroo very much comes to the table. I'll give you another example. I guess it's a better example. Water infrastructure is a real big deal around here. A couple years ago, we had to run a new water main from the center of town across the interstate. It's about a $1.2 million project at the time. Bonnaroo chipped in. We were able to work with a grant, and the city of Manchester ended up paying $100,000 for a $1.2 million project. Bonnaroo funded a majority of that matching grant to the tune of about $600,000. That's an example of kind of those intrinsic things that maybe the residents aren't as aware of, that we need to do a better job of selling, but that's their commitment, not just to the idea, but to the implementation and execution of the idea.
Just to pull a few headlines from the last 10 years or so, 2014 editorial, could we survive without Bonnaroo? In 15, Bonnaroo to buy Chromebooks for county schools, pay to paint Manchester Recreation Center. 2012, Verizon Wireless enhances their network here in the city of Manchester. Now, I'm sure eventually there would be upgrades in the cellular service here, but that, I'm guessing, was expedited because of the necessity for it. The $50 million impact on this one I was mentioning earlier, Bonnaroo exceeds expectations from 2012. The Works Fund, that were the beneficiaries of what we're doing here right now, $139,000 in grants. The $1.4 million water project that you were just talking about, Ryan. And the list just keeps going on and on from the last couple of years. Big bucks for local nonprofits, and then nonprofits see big Bonnaroo benefits. Those are just headlines from the Manchester Times. And it's remarkable how much they put into the community. And the older I get, the more I value community. And this is one hell of a community.
probably going to wrap up here in a little bit, mostly because I'm tired of sitting on this bench. But wanted to point out tomorrow, the Ruham guys are going to be here hosting another panel. And I know Ryan Benson is going to be part of that panel. He's the guy that actually books the lineup. So looking forward to that. I don't know if Parker's still here. Ruham was here. And then on Saturday, the Real Rubus, Daniel and Sharla, they're around. They're going to be talking about their totem program, which is pretty awesome. So if you hope you'll come back for that. I know we had said, there's Daniel. There he is, crashing the rail. I don't know if we can, if you guys have any questions for anybody up here, if you want to ask, we'll try to hear as best we can. Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Favorite show, favorite
That's
year.
My guy, Zach.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Paul McCartney, 2013. It's not even close.
Yeah. 2016, Pearl Jam, Dead and Company. Now, it wasn't everybody else's favorite year, but that was one of my favorite years.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to come out and hug and howdy, and I hope you'll stick around. And happy Roo.
Happy Roo.
Happy Roo.
Thank you.
With so many options, why choose Arizona State University?
For me, the only online option was ASU because of the quality. Their faculty was really involved with their students and care about your personal journey. The dedication to my personal development from my professors, that's been extremely valuable to me.
Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university online. That's a degree better. Explore more than 350+ undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.